What's going on, everyone? This is the 100 Yards Away podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Fernandez, ready to do my recap on the NFL draft, not just day three, but all in all. You know, I have several teams in mind I want to speak about, see how this draft has impacted them going forward. I want to address anything I felt like they should have done, anything that I felt like they did well, and what have you. Just give my overall opinion on them, and I'm going to start off. I'm going to start off with the NFC. This is a two-part series. I'm starting doing one episode here for the NFC, and I'll do a separate one for the AFC, as there are more than a handful of teams I want to speak about from each conference. So let's get right to it. In the NFC, I want to start off by speaking about the Detroit Lions. As we know, with the third overall pick in the draft, they selected Ohio State cornerback Jeff Okuda. And early in the second round, they also drafted running back DeAndre Swift, who's arguably the best running back prospect in this draft. And another thing I want to point out, too, they also waited until round five to select a receiving skill player. I believe they drafted it was a wide receiver, tight end, but yes. But with the Detroit Lions, a little bit interesting. They did draft a position in need with the third overall pick. They got the arguably the best player available at that point, Jeff Okuda, as I stated on a previous episode. I definitely like that pick. It'll show up a defense, especially a defense and that, especially a secondary that'll need to be shored up in the NFC with all the weapons that they have around that conference. Running back is big. It helps take a load off Matthew Stafford's and that offense shoulders. DeAndre Swift has definitely plenty of potential to be a solid running back. I don't know how great their offensive line is, but this man should contribute not just in the run game, but in the passing game. I definitely like what they did there, helping number nine under center. But, you know, I mean, outside of Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola, I mean, those are two respected wide receivers, but Danny Amendola, he's getting up there in age. I'm not expecting him to be as lethal as he was in his time with the Patriots. And with Marvin Jones, he has a number one type wide receiver. He is a number one wide receiver, but he's not one that necessarily scares you. And in this deep class of wide receivers, they definitely had the room, the ammunition, not to just draft a wide receiver, whether it be in the third round or even trade up somewhere in the second round. You know, I believe they should have gone there. They definitely should have helped Matthew Stafford, just like they should have helped Aaron Rodgers in that sense earlier. Early in the 2020 NFL draft, I definitely feel like they could have done more. Maybe they would have done more had they liked the value that they had. They liked the offers they received for trading, possibly trading the number three pick, which of course they did not do. But they could. I feel like they could have done more. You know, they didn't bring in any quality wide receiver in free agency. Granted, there wasn't much in free agency to look after, but they just could have done more. I expected more from Detroit. You know, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year, of course, by where they selected their draft, so from where they selected in the draft, and I don't think they'll be much better. They pretty good chance they'll finish last in the NFC North once again, and this may put Matt Patricia in the hot seat, but that is a whole different story going forward. So as we move on to the Carolina Panthers. Now, this one is very surprising here. Despite bringing what I believe is an offensive-minded head coach from the University of Baylor to be their new head coach, Matt Rhule, and despite the fact that they could have upgraded their offense to help Teddy Bridgewater under center, the man that they paid $63 million to, that they will be paying up to $63 million, I should say, for the next 3 years. They went all defense. Seven picks, strictly all defense. They did not have a very good defense last year. I am aware of that. They had the 23rd ranked defense against the pass and the fourth worst rush defense. So definitely needed to upgrade the front seven and also get younger. They did depart from Gerald McCoy, despite McCoy being somewhat effective and playing all 16 games for them last year. They drafted his replacement in Derek Brown, who was regarded by most NFL scouts and analysts in around the league as the top defensive tackle in the draft. So he will have to make an impact right away to upgrade that run defense drastically. You're not going to win a lot of games when you're the fourth worst rush defense in the league, and I mean, typically you're just not going to win a lot. You know, they went 5-11. That's a big part why they went 5-11 and finished last in the NFC South. But I did like the fact. Also like the fact that they went defensive end, Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end. He was expected to possibly be a first rounder. They get him in the second round, so that may have been a steal for them. Hopefully he can have a big effect right away. You know, they are getting K'Juan Short back as well. So if those three guys right there, the two rookies along with K'Juan Short, can really revamp that defensive line going to next year and make it much better than it was in 2019, that'll be a big step forward for the Panthers to ascend once again in what will be a very tough NFC South division. Now I want to shift my focus onto the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings did relatively well. They, for the most part, they filled in holes in the early part of the draft that they needed to fill. They lost four defensive starters, two cornerbacks, two of their starting cornerbacks last year, along with Everson Griffin on the defensive line. And of course, they lost also Stephon Diggs in the offensive side of the ball in exchange for that first round pick they received from Buffalo, which, speaking of, they drafted his replacement, wide receiver Justin Jefferson, LSU wide receiver. You know, a big target for Joe Burrow, who we all know is a spectacular quarterback. And this is from what I hear is a slot guy. And he could definitely help. He will definitely help Kirk Cousins in the passing game. There won't be a whole lot of attention garnered to him as they have Adam Thielen, who's a true number one wide receiver, one of the best in the league. If he can stay healthy, that would be great. They also drafted two cornerbacks, cornerback Jeff Gladney, and Cam Dantzler. Dantzler, if I pronounce his last name right. Excuse me, losing their names, Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. These guys are going to have big shoes to fill right away. I'm assuming they're expected to start right away. They don't have any other viable cornerbacks that can be placed into those positions and to succeed. So they have big shoes to fill. Minnesota's defense might take a step back because of those two rookies starting. You know, they're going to have time to develop, especially with this coronavirus pandemic. If they're not able to get into training camp, if training camp is not expected to play out throughout later in the year, that may hurt these rookies very much. So I expect Jeff Gladney and Cam Dantzler to study the playbook. The best they can do is study the playbook to get up to par, but it's going to be a challenging 2020 rookie season for them. I can tell you that much, especially when you're in the division, when facing Aaron Rodgers, facing even Matt Stafford and Nick Foles in Chicago. You know, he's going to make that offense over there better. So they're going to have their work cut out for them, these two rookies in Minnesota. They will surely have their work cut out for them. Minnesota also drafted offensive tackle Ezra Cleveland to help their offensive line. And that would be great as well. Of course, you got to protect Kirk Cousins and open up some holes for running back Dalvin Cook, who had a pretty good year last year. So, yeah, I like what Rick Spielman did. You know, with his league leading 16 picks in the NFL draft. But from what I've seen, he did good with what he had. And I expect Minnesota to be in the race to make the playoffs. I don't expect them to win the division, but I definitely expect him to be in the running towards the end of the season to make the playoffs as a wild card team. And I'm definitely looking forward to see how that defense does. Mike Zimmer, you got your work cut out for you. I'm looking to see what you do. And you may be on the hot seat. So he's definitely going to have to put in work. And best of luck to him. Now, Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, as I mentioned last episode, they drafted Jalen Hurts. You know, I'll do a little recap on there. It was a bit of surprise, but I expect them to have some packages set up for him, just in the same way as the New Orleans Saints have Taysom Hill set for some plays for him when Drew Brees is not under center for the Saints. I expect the Eagles to utilize Jalen Hurts in the same way for Carson Wentz, and that would be great for Carson Wentz too. Less of a load on him with his injury history. But that wasn't their first pick. Their first pick was wide receiver Jalen Rieger, wide receiver out of TCU. Very fast wide receiver. You know, very athletic makeup of this guy. This was a bit of surprise. Many people felt there were a few wide receivers, if not several, that were rated better than Jalen Rieger. But we know the Philadelphia Eagles, especially on offense, love their speedy guys. They definitely needed wide receiver help. With the departure, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, he's a solid wide receiver, but he's a big target who can go up and make catches. Not a speedy guy. Zach Ertz, a tight end, but not a speedy tight end. He's a possession receiver. But they got the guy that can take the top off the defense in Jalen Rieger. And not a lot of attention will be guarded onto him, as they have two other skill receiving players that are more established than Jalen Rieger is at this point, obviously. So I'm looking forward to see what the Eagles do on offense. They're definitely going to have to expect Jalen Rieger to do great things, as they got very little production out of their wide receivers in general all last year. So Jalen Rieger, you got your work cut out for you. I'm looking forward to see what you do in the passing game. All right. Now going on to the Green Bay Packers. Of course, a big storyline here. They got their quarterback of the future, Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers' time is on the clock. I'd say he has 2 more 3 years, as I talked about on a previous episode. So no need to delve more into that. I just expect Aaron Rodgers to absolutely light the league on fire this upcoming season. He's on a mission. This man is on a mad mission, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. I wouldn't doubt at all if he is the 2020 NFL MVP, and it will be his third. I expect him to do great things. They did get a running back, however, A.J. Dillon, to complement Aaron Jones. So this Green Bay offense, I could be wrong, but they could shift more so into, they could be more, even more balanced, maybe shift slightly more to being a running team, as oddly as that sounds, with when you have number 12 under center. But Aaron Jones had a spectacular year last year. I don't expect him to come short of what he did this upcoming season. And to have a guy who can take that load off of him, especially a talented running back like A.J. Dillon, you know, it's going to be interesting. It will be interesting. Green Bay did finally get a skilled player, but they only got one, which was a tight end. You know, with the departure of Jimmy Graham, of course, you know, they had to find a replacement for him. So that tight end definitely has his work cut out for him. Aaron Rodgers' history, you know, based on history, he has had success with rookie or skill players that they've drafted in the past. So, and with this guy being on a mission, I expect this tight end to be a viable option come 2020. I expect some solid production coming out of this young man. And now as for my last team in the NFC, I have the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, the San Francisco 49ers, the NFC champions of 2019. We're very close to winning the Super Bowl. I like what John Lynch did here. Despite having a lack of draft picks, you know, they drafted defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw out of, I believe, South Carolina. Yes, South Carolina. He should have absolutely no excuses not to be successful. Yes, three other guys on the starting defensive line right beside him that will garner more attention than this young man. And so he should be able to push the interior, those guards and centers back, and get after the quarterback and stop the run. As especially when you're considering in that division, when you have Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, who are running quarterbacks, and even Jared Goff being mobile in his own respect and being able to get out of the pocket and throw darts downfield, he will have to rush the quarterback very well to be successful. So, and of course, you know, drafting, like I said, in previous episode, Brandon Ayuk, a receiver, a possession wide receiver who can also beat defenses down the field. They need that for Jimmy Garoppolo's sake, and to expand that offense's versatility further. Kyle Shanahan will put this wide receiver in a very good position to succeed. As you all know, Kyle Shanahan is one of the best play callers in the NFL. And he will find a way to utilize this guy and to maximize his potential. Brandon Ayuk can will definitely have will garner some, I believe, some praise in the NFL, because I expect his production to be right up there with any other rookie wide receiver in this class. And this is a very deep wide receiver class, but I expect him to be good things. He has a good quarterback thrown to him, a solid offensive line. They're a good running team who could beat you in with play action, who could sell the play action very well. So Brandon Ayuk, you have also, just like your teammate Javon Kinlaw, have no reason not to succeed. I want to speak just John Lynch. Hey, you know, I'm really impressed by this man. He's making the life difficult for all the teams in the NFC. By most people, they would say San Francisco at this point is still the top dog in the NFC. I don't know how they'll pan out with the Super Bowl, quote-unquote Super Bowl hangover that many teams end up having after a Super Bowl loss, especially if top four and like that, being up 10 points in the fourth quarter and losing. But they have to put it behind them. They really do have to put it behind them. And they will be on a mission. They are absolutely hungry, of course. No team is not hungry going into the next season after they lost the Super Bowl from the previous season. So they have all the reason. They still have plenty of reasons to be excited come 2020. The fan base, expect your team to possibly win the NFC number one seed again and possibly enter the Super Bowl and make their way into Tampa Bay come February 2021. We'll see how that goes. So there you have it. This is the 100 Yards Away podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Fernandez, wrapping up my take on some NFC East NFC teams post NFL draft. Stay tuned for me speaking on the AFC side of the football post NFL draft. I'll give you my opinion on that. So please stay tuned. Peace.